back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm Jay Probs.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And today we're starting you guys off with a little Gold Cup action. Mexico defeating Panama 1-0. A nice little shot around the goalkeeper from Santiago Jimenez, ending Panama's hopes of getting their first international trophy, their first CONCACAF trophy, and really putting Mexico in just a better position than when they started. I mean, they were shambles after firing two coaches, Diogo Coca, after the CONCACAF Nations League. And I mean, Dr. Cash, what does this mean for Mexico? Just, I mean, winning a cup, winning a trophy is big for any team, but what does this trophy especially mean for Mexico after kind of the head coach turmoil they've been having and culture change?
Yeah, I mean, from a historical perspective, Mexico's always been, they've always had talent. They've been a harsh competitor in some of these big competitions, but most recently in that Qatar World Cup, they weren't even able to get out of the group stage. And I mean, they didn't really wake up offensively until that last game where they desperately needed to win, but also relied on others. So I think just being able to get this trophy, finally have that confidence booster, is it's really big for this squad, because it's only going to be bigger competition from here and more meaningful trophies. I mean, don't get me wrong, this Gold Cup is huge, but being able to win the World Cup, being able to win trophies like the Copa America, all those bigger trophies, I feel like would benefit for sure. Mexico.
I definitely agree with your point. I think Mexico can kind of take this Gold Cup, this confidence booster, and really use it as a kind of bouncing off point, really start building a team culture around this win, with this winning culture, find your identity, and really kind of rebuild the program that since the World Cup has looked like, man, the third worst in the CONCACAF region. Because, I mean, they've, after being the dominant team for multiple years, it looks like both America, the US, and Canada are ahead. They're just better squads, better built. But Mexico, after getting this win, could possibly try and compete, at least make it more competitive within those three nations. But moving on to some more competitive action, in the NBA Summer League, we have the semifinals coming up. We already had the semifinals. We got the finals coming up today. Semifinal action, the Houston Rockets defeated the Utah Jazz 115-101. Cam Whitmore with another impressive display. Mm-hmm. 25 points, 2 blocks, a nasty block on a little layup, and he just sent that. So he's been super, super impressive. In our second semifinal game on the other side of the bracket, the Cleveland Cavs beating the Brooklyn Nets by 3 points, 102-99 in overtime. I mean, I feel like we've gotten a few pretty close games in Summer League, pretty fun. But Imani Bates standing out again after another super impressive performance, 20 points, 7 rebounds. I mean, in the second round, he's looking like a solid player. Cash, what are your thoughts on these Whitmore and Imani Bates, who are looking like two of the stars of Summer League so far?
I mean, Whitmore, I think, without a doubt, was kind of expected to be great, but obviously this early and this dominant, it's quite surprising. I mean, we all know this dude was expected to at least go top 15, but a lot of people had him in their top 10.
Yeah.
Ended up falling to 20, and he's completely already being able to prove the team's wrong and passed up on him. But obviously he's going to be a huge present up front for Houston, and he was able to show that tonight and as well as these past nights in the Summer League. And as for Imani Bates, obviously being the kind of like high school social media big player who went to Memphis, as we all know, then transferred to Eastern Michigan, now fell in the second round drafted by the Cavs and has been able to stack up a few good performances here after a rough start, which I think will be big for him because obviously this Cavs team has championship aspirations now. I don't think Imani Bates will see much of a role in the rotation.
Yeah.
But being able to string these good performances out in the summer league would definitely guarantee him a consistent starting role with the Cavs G League team. And, you know, he can just work his way up from there and potentially get in the rotation.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's one of those guys that could most definitely use the G League as a path to NBA because he kind of struggled in that college path and probably it seems like we'll need some more development. And that's exactly what the G League is. But just looking at some more names in the summer league, because pretty much every other team is done with all their games. I mean, I just wanted to highlight a few. Lester Quiñones from the Golden State Warriors. What is he? 24 points per game, 4 assists. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. He looks like an almost perfect replica of Jordan Poole. So the fact that the Warriors got him in the second round, almost an eerie replacement right there. Another name I wanted to highlight, Keontae George, of the Utah Jazz, a guard from Baylor, 21 points per game, 6 assists. I watched him play in Baylor. He's a legit guard. I mean, obviously he didn't have that good of a March Madness, but he can ball and he's showing out. Cash, what are your thoughts on those two guys? Is there anyone else that you want to mention possibly?
I think, yeah, just going back to those two guys, like you said, Keontae George didn't finish his college career the best way possible, but he was able to prove to scouts that he was still worthy of, you know, having a pretty good spot or having a pretty good future here in the league. And I think Utah was like the perfect place he could go to. They're obviously in the midst of a rebuild and, you know, being able to find this young guard who has a lot of potential, as we saw here in the summer league, is huge. And he was able to affect the game on both sides of the ball, which is exactly what this Jazz team, this Jazz culture has been known to do. So I think, obviously, from George's perspective, he could definitely see some significant minutes here in the regular season because this Jazz team doesn't really have championship aspirations. Yeah, they don't have to exactly have a great starting five every night. They can throw in guys that haven't seen many NBA minutes. And Keontae George, yeah, I think he's found the right spot. But aside from the second part of your question, I think second guy I wanted to talk about was from my Dallas Mavericks. It's got to be Olivier Maxence Prosper. For me, he just looked like almost like a carbon copy of Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, he's a stretch forward. He can go move inside, and he can shoot that three ball pretty well. And I think his efficiency offensively and his size defensively puts together a great two-way game. And being able to develop for this Mavs squad will be huge because we know that Dallas lacks defense year in and year out. So being able to have this guy as an option in a few years would be great.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of what the summer league is. We got a lot of young guys, a lot of promise, a lot of talent. And it's just fun to watch if you're a basketball fan. I think I've said this before. It's basketball. Everyone loves basketball. But moving on to some more. Pretty big news. I feel like Carlos Alcaraz beating Nikola Jokic in 5 sets. Winning his second major trophy, his first Wimbledon. And I mean, this is a pretty big deal because Novak Djokovic, he had the opportunity to tie, I think, the record for number of Wimbledon's won, and he obviously did not get that opportunity. He, being seen as arguably the goat of tennis at the moment after the retirements of both Nadal and Federer, and now you got that new young generation coming up. And I mean, this is probably the first of many intense battles. And I mean, tennis fans all around the world are loving it because it is intense and it's just straight up competition. And that's in any sport, that's all you could ask for.
Yeah. And like you said, he's a young prospect, already number one ranked in the world as a 20-year-old coming into Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And I think just what makes his performance even more dominant is that this was just his, I believe, third or fourth tournament played on a grass surface. And he was able to go up against Djokovic and put on a show. I think that being able to, obviously he's going to practice on grass surfaces before, but for him being able to come out and win this tournament just his fourth time being on grass, it's huge. And like you said, it's coming to an end of an era in the sport of tennis, and I think we already know who's next up.
Exactly. We already know who's next up. And next up in the MLS, obviously we got Leo Messi. Mm-hmm. His unveiling tonight, or last night in Inter Miami, big sold out crowd. He walking in with the task of helping rebuild, turn around the worst team in the MLS. I believe they have the second worst record. They've gone 11 straight games without getting a win. And it's a bad, bad situation. But he's a Leo Messi, right? He can fix anything. I mean, Cash, what are your thoughts on the situation he's going in? And I mean, what you kind of expect from this Leo Messi, who in all like rights and purposes is going on a vacation, to be honest with you. What are your kind of expectations for what he does with Inter Miami?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not going here to bring this club up from last place. He's really just going here. He's got great money in a great location, and he's now being able to reunite with former teammates. So I think he will be able to turn this team around somewhat, but it's not going to be good enough this season at least, or maybe even next, to win an MLS Cup. I just say that because there's just too many other teams who have the depth and have the skill. It's like one man is not going to change you from going from last to first. It just doesn't really work like that. I believe that Messi has to get more pieces. Can't just be these old Barca guys just coming for kind of like a retirement home. Uh-huh. I think that Messi's goal here, I mean, yeah, to turn this team around, but you know, he's just here for the money.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's there to enjoy his time. I think him, Busquets, Jordi Alba, all those guys coming to enjoy kind of a little retirement. And I mean, see what they can do, because I've watched MLS soccer, and I mean, they could really turn it around, because these are three of arguably the best players in European football history. And I mean, they could, if they really tried, make waves in the MLS. But it's really about how hard they try. So kind of wanted to end it on that note, how hard they really try. Because MLS tweeting a photo of Sergio Busquets welcoming him to Inter Miami with a photo of ex-Spanish teammate Alvaro Arbelo. Quite the mishap, yeah, if you ask me. Pretty quickly spotted by football Twitter, but it's crazy. At least when I saw it, I was kind of shocked. But I think that, yeah, it kind of goes to show you the big what Americans kind of prioritize in terms of soccer, football. But yeah, I think kind of wanted to end it on that note. Thank y'all so much for watching. Make sure to check out our social medias on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And make sure to go check out our website, rewindthattape.com. And check in here, wherever you're getting your podcast from, because we upload podcasts daily. These 15 to 20 minute episodes, quick little episodes for you to listen to. And yeah, thank y'all again so much for watching. Peace.